mask of night is on my face, else would a maiden blush betaint my cheek.
Pardon me, Peggy, but have you gone completely wacky?
Oh, Jill, don't you recognize it? The balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet. Haven't you heard? There's a real stage and movie director in town from Hollywood. And Civic Center is going to have a community theater. And I'm going to be a rich and famous star. I hope.
Oh, I'm impressed, Miss Me. May I have your autograph on a big, fat old check?
The National Broadcasting Company invites you to listen to your favorite family. Folks, meet the Meek. Yes, friends, once again, you're invited to meet the Meeks, the Mortimer Meeks, who live on Elm Street in Civic Center. Well, as you just heard, theatrical plans are afoot in town, and Peggy Meek is all agone. As for her father, Mortimer, well, let's take a look in the kitchen. Let's look in on the little green house with the white shutters, as the head of the house holds consultation with Lily, the once-weekly maid of all work.
Oh, Lily, is Mrs. Meek at home?
She sure is. And she's got that certain glint in her eyes.
Oh, my. What certain glint?
You know the one. The one that says she's made up her mind to something.
Hmm.
And you've made up your mind that that something is no good. And then you do exactly what she says.
Oh, but Agatha, dear, listen
Mortimer
to me.
Mortimer Meek, how you can be so stubborn about a great opportunity for your daughter to be a dramatic actress is beyond me.
Oh, but dear.
When I think of Peggy looking simply beautiful on the stage of the Civic Center Auditorium, and then think of your bullheadedness, I could cry.
Yeah, but Agatha, I would...
Mortimer, you must stop thinking about yourself.
Well, is it all right for me to say something now?
Well...
Thank you, dear. I'm not thinking about myself. I'm not thinking at all.
Well, then go right ahead.
Oh, well, dear, will you please explain what this is all about?
Well, Mortimer, it happened at the Woman's Club just this afternoon. Oh, I'm still tingling. Just think, Mortimer, I met the Gerald Backdrop.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Who's he?
Who is he?
Yes.
You've never heard of Gerald Backdrop?
No.
He's only one of the greatest directors of plays and pictures in the world.
No radio?
Now, stop being silly, Mortimer. We're going to have a community theater in Civic Center, and Mr. Backdrop has graciously consented to be our director.
Oh, well, that's fine, dear, but don't you feel sorry for all the movie stars who are going to be deprived of Mr. Backdrop's genius?
It was really a stroke of providence. He just happened to be driving through Civic Center, and he fell in love with our community.
And vice versa.
What did you say?
Nothing, dear. Where's Peggy?
Oh, she and Jill are upstairs reading Shakespeare aloud. Oh, Mortimer, isn't it all too inspiring? Just think, our little Peggy studying Shakespeare. Oh, the loveliness, the beauty, the culture of it.
Oh, my, what's that?
Girls, girls, what are you doing with those broom handles? Now stop it.
My, it looks like a very good hockey match to me. Maybe you ought to wear a mask and shin guards, Jill.
Mother, father, don't you recognize Shakespeare?
Well, I doubt if Shakespeare would recognize it.
Peggy, Romeo and Juliet is a love story full of fine poetry.
And loveliness and beauty and culture.
Mother, father... Jill and I are doing scene one of Act Three. I'm playing the part of Romeo in the duel.
And I'm playing all the other parts, unfortunately. Peg, why can't I be the one that sticks you in the stomach? Because I'm Romeo.
Draw, Benvolio, be down there, weapons! Gentlemen, for shame! Forbear this outrage!
Outrage! Outrage is right. What's going on around here? I just get settled in bed for some good heavy thinking, and all this yakety-yak breaks out. How am I ever going to get anything done on my inventions living in a nut house like this?
Inventing again, Louis?
Yeah. I got a honey this time. It's an alarm clock that gives out the delicious odors of frying pork chops and fragrant coffee.
Mm. Well, it'll be nice to retire on your royalties, Louis. Yes, I'll enjoy that.
No, no. Better keep on working, Morty. For a while, anyway. So far, all I've perfected is the frying pork chops and the fragrant coffee.
Which you eat.
Which I eat. Oh, always belittling. It just goes to show you. Real talent ain't appreciated around here. I'm going back to my room. To bed. To think.
Well, Agatha, it looks as though you were faced with a problem. The culture of the theater versus the progress of science.
That will do, Mortimer.
Yes, dear.
And you may be excused.
Yes, dear.
Peggy, Jill, suppose we run through scene two of act three.
Okay, Mom. I'll start.
What am I this time?
You're the scenery. Mother and I are the only two players on stage. Now, let me see. You're an orchard.
Okay. I'm an orchard. See, my arms are up like a tree.
Well, I think I'll just sit down in the shade and watch.
Now, that will do, Mortimer. If you propose to make a mockery of an artistic and cultural effort, we can do without you.
But, Agatha...
March, no. Take those broomsticks with you.
But where'll I go, dear?
Well, I would suggest the kitchen. I think you will find entertainment on your own level there, talking about movies with Lily.
Just hand me that last pan, Mr. Meade.
Yes, thank you.
Like I was saying, you learn the most interesting facts about movie stars from the Scream and Screen magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Take that singing star, Milton Freddy. You'd never guess how he got his start.
I wouldn't try, Lily.
Well, Mr. Meade, he ran a roulette table at Monte Carlo and sang while he worked.
To entertain the customers, no doubt.
No. That was so they wouldn't hear the losers shooting themselves out on the lawn.
It must have been a very interesting job, Lily.
Yes, but he got fired on account of his singing.
Oh?
One day, the manager discovered some of the winners were shooting themselves and became suspicious.
Well, but how did he get into the movies?
Well, he just went to Hollywood, asked for a job, and they gave him a 5-year contract.
Oh, golly, he was very lucky.
Yes, and besides... he was a nephew of the producer.
Oh, my Lily. You certainly know a lot about movie stars. But don't you find it confusing? I mean, don't you ever get mixed up?
Mixed up?
Mm-hmm.
You should see my scrapbook. Why, I've got pictures of Francis X. Bushman as a boy.
Oh, my.
I showed it to Peggy last week. You ought to see the interesting article about Miss Contra Alto, the Technicolor thrush. How do you suppose she started her beginning?
I'm almost afraid to ask you.
She was secretary to a very prominent surgeon, and she sang while she worked.
Huh.
One day, he took notice of her voice, and wham, out came her tonsils.
How did she sing? How did she sing after that?
Constantly.
Didn't her singing bother the doctor?
No, he was on a long vacation.
Well, what happened when he came back?
She sang two bars, and wham, out came her adenoids.
Oh, my goodness. Lucky she didn't sing a full chorus.
Well, the operation left her with a terrible crack in her voice, which happened to be just what Hollywood was looking for.
And in that case, Jill should be a star.
Listen, You never know how stardom will reach you.
You don't?
Take the case of Dana Dane, the New York actor. When he first went to Hollywood, all he had was a lot of talent. Naturally, he was at a great disadvantage.
Naturally.
But did he let that discourage him? No.
What did he do? Get untalented?
No. He merely went back to New York, got a job as a talent scout, and discovered himself.
Good, Lily. Well, Lily, this has certainly been a nice tour through the studios. Thank you very much. And now I guess I'd better get back and see how my own stars are getting along.
Think true love, acted simple modesty. Come night, come Romeo, come thou day and night.
My, Agatha, you've got quite a lot of company coming. mind if I come in too?
Mortimer, how can you be so callous? I was reading Juliet's soliloquy. Don't you find it inspiring?
Except if I tell the truth, will you send me out to the kitchen again?
Oh, Mortimer Meek. Come on in. Sit down.
Thank you, dear. Well, where are the younger members of the Shakespeare hockey team? I left their broomsticks in the kitchen.
Well, they're up in Peggy's room getting cleaned up. And Mortimer, guess what?
I'd rather not.
Gerald Backdrop is on his way over here.
Gerald's going to backdrop in, is he?
He's coming over to discuss the first play we're going to give at the Civic Center Community Theater.
Agatha.
Yes?
You know I love you, don't you, dear?
Well.
And that I want you to be happy.
Mortimer, what have you done now?
Oh, nothing, dear, nothing. I just want to ask you a little question. Now, don't you think you've gone a little overboard on this whole thing?
Isn't that just like a man? The minute a woman decides to do something cultural, something significant, a man has to go and poke fun at it.
Hey, stop calling me a man, will you please, dear? I'm a Mortimer, remember?
I remember very well. And I will remember very well, too, that you were skeptical and poked fun at me after the first play is a big success and everyone's talking about Peggy. And she will be a success. I just know it. Mortimer, where are you going?
Hey, up to Peggy's room. I want to be the first to interview the rising young star.
Candy delicious. Care for a cream, Mr. Meek?
Thank you, dear.
Peggy? No, thank you. I'm not eating sweets in any form.
You're not?
Golly, Peg, don't you feel well?
I feel wonderful. Alive.
That's comforting.
But I'm going to watch my diet very carefully from now on until after the play.
You mean no more super-duper Sunday?
No more super-duper Sunday. Father, Jill, I'm afraid neither of you understand. This is my one big chance. I've got to work hard to make good. Voice control, pitch, reading, exercise, and suffering. Those are the things that make a great actor.
Those are the things that make me slightly ill.
Well, I'm afraid I'm inclined to agree with Jill, dear. Now, why not just be your happy, carefree self and let somebody else suffer?
Oh, Father, how can I make you understand? If I make good in the community theater, the world is mine. Don't you understand?
Personally, I'm satisfied with good old Civic Center and Super Duper Sunday.
Well, I'm not. Mother and I see eye to eye. We know what it is to be burning with ambition. We know what it is to be consumed by the desire to act. We know how thrilling it is to see your name in light.
Well, in that case, I'd better go and fix up the porch light. We can make a start, even in a small way, dear. I'll paint Peggy on it and attach a blinker.
Now, pay attention, all of you. Don't seem too eager about the play when Mr. Backdrop gets here.
Well, that won't be too difficult.
Peggy, dear, you answer the door. Jill, you stay here with us.
Yes, Mother.
Yes, Mrs. Meek.
Good. Now, remember, all of you.
Oh, I'll get it, Mother. Yes. Thank you, dear. Come in, won't you?
Thank you, my dear.
We've been expecting you.
Oh, Mr. Backdrop, how charming of you to come. And now I want to meet my husband.
Hello.
My daughter, Peggy. How do you do? And her little friend, Jill Donovan.
Hello.
Greetings, fellow thespians.
Let me take your things, Mr. Backdrop.
Don't move, Miss Meek. Stand right where you are.
Well,
Don't say a word. I want to look at you just as you stand there. That pose, the drama of it. I want to drink it in.
Oh, how moving.
How funny. How funny.
Hold that position. I'm visualizing this whole scene as the dramatic climax of a play, The Man from the Past. Miss Peggy, you are standing at the foot of the staircase. Your uncle is an escaped convict. He's upstairs. The police will arrive in a moment. Your father is a district attorney. You're torn between love and duty. Your soul is in torment. Then suddenly your uncle comes down the stairs and says...
Hey, is there any more of that sauerkraut in the icebox?
No. Who is this person?
This is my Uncle Louie. Louie, this is Mr. Backdrop, the famous director. He's going to direct the play for our new community theater.
Oh, play director, huh? Hiya, Backdrop. Wait a minute. Stand right where you are and don't move.
What is this, a stick-up?
Good heavens, no. Can't you see? I'm trying to capture a mood.
Sure. Which way did he go?
No.
You see, Louis, Mr. Backdrop sees everybody as a character in a play.
Well, excuse me, Mr. Backdrop, but who do you see Louis as?
Ah, let me visualize. Hey, Backdrop, how would I be a Tarzan swinging between two trees?
Oh, well, you did that all last summer in a hammock.
Hey, now look here, Morty.
Please, please, now both of you, what will Mr. Backdrop think? Mr. Backdrop, Peggy is the one member of the family with real talent. Oh, you should have seen her take the part of a French maid in the school play.
Yeah. She played opposite a feather duster. Oh, boy, would that tickle you. Please. Ah, Miss Peggy, hold that position. Oh, there. I visualize you as Joan of Arc, the lovely maid of Orleans, riding on a snow-white horse. The sunlight glints on your armor. There is an indescribable look of sauerkraut. I forgot that sauerkraut. Say, let me know when you need a guy to do any eating scenes, Backdrop.
I hope you don't misunderstand my brother Louis, Mr. Backdrop. He's just the impulsive type.
Don't give it another thought, dear lady. Hollywood has so many jokesters. And by the way, Mrs. Meek, you are the treasurer of the Woman's Club, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I take care of all the finances.
Splendid, Daya. I think I'll let you all in on a little secret. I am a talent scout from Hollywood.
A talent scout from Hollywood?
Oh, yes, indeed. And from the first moment I met your charming daughter, I felt instinctively that there was a place for her in pictures.
Me? Are you kidding?
Peggy, did you hear that, Mortimer? Mortimer, where are you going now?
Out to help Louis find the sauerkraut. After that one, I have to build up my strength, too.
Well, Joan of Arc, what next? Your father wasn't in the kitchen with Uncle Louie, and I'm tired of walking. How about giving me a ride on your snow-white horse?
Jill Donovan, you shut up. I don't feel funny, huh? Look at what's happened. Pop's in the doghouse with Mother because he won't ooh and all about the community theater. And Mother's acting just like a silly schoolgirl about that phony baloney Gerald Backdrop.
Well, why don't you tell him that you're convinced that Backdrop is a fake shake? Let us solve everything.
But it wouldn't. That's the trouble. Mom is an incurable romanticist. And when she starts daydreaming, there's just no stopping her. Golly, I sure wish I knew what to do next. Backdrop has called a rehearsal for this evening. I'd like to nail him before he even gets started.
Well, something will turn up, but always does. Meantime, since you're no longer trying for stardom, how about a trip down to Green's drugstore and something sweet and gooey? That's really inspiring. How much money have you got, Peggy?
$5.40. After I pay for my super duper.
Oh, wonderful. Let's order another one and split it.
You, Donovan, are you crazy?
Just crazy about super dupers. Oh, I'd like to have enough money at one time to order a dozen of them. Of course, I'd be sick afterwards. But during, it'd be dreams.
Oh, Jill, look, here comes Lily. Hiya, Lily.
Hello. Hello, Peggy. Jill? Building up your strength?
We're having super dupers, Lily. Won't you join us?
No, thanks. Just came in to pick up the latest issue of Movie Memories magazine. Oh, it's got a wonderful serial in it. Continued, you know. The name of it is Passion Below the Equator. Boy, is it hot. I hear that there's a real, genuine movie director in town, and that he's going to direct the play.
Your information is unfortunately true.
He is also a talent scout, unfortunately.
A talent scout? Oh, my. I would like exceedingly to meet him. I've got a lot of questions I'd like to ask him about the movie.
Oh, I don't imagine Mr. Backdrop could tell you much about the movies that you don't already know, Lily. Why, you're practically a walking encyclopedia when it comes to the movies. But, hey, I just thought of something, Jill. Oh, I got it. I got it. Lily, why don't you come to the rehearsal tonight with Jill? It'll be loads of fun.
Mm-hmm. And extremely interesting besides.
But, Peggy, dear, I don't want to come to the rehearsal tonight. Isn't it enough that your mother and your uncle will be making fools of themselves?
But, Pop, you have to. Won't you do it for me?
Peggy, dear, as you probably guessed, I'm extremely fond of you. But as much as it pains me to tell you, I do not believe with your mother and Mr. Backdrop that you are a potentially great actress. Oh, I'm sorry, dear, but I have to tell you the truth. Oh, now, please don't feel badly.
Let him have it, Peg. We're both feral.
Father?
Yes?
Much though it pains me,
oh,
I have to tell you something.
Hmm?
I agree with you.
Hmm?
Now will you come?
Well, yes, Peggy. I'd be delighted
to. Oh, well, Mr. Meek, you can sit with me and a friend in the back row, and we can all hiss and boo everybody.
Faces, faces, everyone. I want to give the final act a run through.
Backdrop, but I'd like to ask you a couple of questions.
No. Can't you see I'm in rehearsal? Who are you anyway? I can't see the back of the house over these footlights.
Yeah, well, this is Mortimer Meek.
Oh, Mr. Meek, come up here on the stage at once. You can help us out. Mr. Willoughby, who is to be the villain in our play, is late. I want you to read his part.
Oh, no, Mr. Backdrop, I couldn't.
Go ahead,
Mrs. Meek, can't you persuade your husband to help us out? We're very late as it is.
Why, certainly he'll be delighted. Mortimer, you come right up on the stage.
Oh, but Agatha, I don't know the first thing about acting. No, I don't know anything about acting.
Well, come on, Morty. I haven't had a good laugh since I got down here.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Backdrop. You just have to get someone else. Now, I want to ask you...
Mortimer!
If I could... Pardon me, Lily. Now, what is it that I have to do?
Here's the play manuscript. Now, just stand over near that door until it's time for your cue.
Yes, sir. Hello, Peggy.
Don't you work.
Come on, Morty. Come on. Step on it. I want to get this over with. I'm hungry. And I sure wish I'd brought me along a snack.
What part do you play in this scene, Louis?
Me?
Yes.
I'm the cook of the Bar Old Ranch. Yeah, looking at this beefsteak here is driving me crazy.
Come, everyone. Let's get on with it. Mr. Meek, would you please stop reading? You've just come in the door and you're holding Louie at bay with your gun. Now begin, please.
Yes, all right. Here I go. If now I have got you where I want you, dirty laugh.
No.
I've read what it says right here in the script. Now I've got you where I want you, Dirty Laugh. Who is Dirty Laugh, an Indian?
Mortimer, that laugh is just a stage direction. That's not what you're supposed to say. That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, is that it? So, well, all right. Now I have got you where I want you.
Oh, no, not that. For heaven's sake, man, put some feeling in it. You're supposed to be a desperate, bloodthirsty villain.
Yes, well, I'll try it again. If now I have got you where I want you.
Oh, sir, have mercy.
Well,
have mercy.
Give me the papers then and shut up. My goodness. Excuse me, Agatha. I was just reading what it says here.
Get on with the play. Get on with the play. Who's got the next cue?
I have. I'm supposed to take a couple of shots at him. Bang, bang.
You picked that cue up like you were going to shoot pool with it. Go on.
Drop that gun, you overgrown ape. You human meatball. You big tub of lard. Hey, I like this part. Now drop that gun or I'll fill you full of holes.
Is that so? Bang, bang.
Yes, that's so. Bang, bang.
Help!
Oh, my goodness, Peggy, what's wrong?
I'm scared of you.
Oh, but darling, why are you scared of me?
It says so here on page 5.
Stop it. You're driving me crazy.
Mortimer, keep reading. I want to do my big thing.
No. I couldn't stand anymore. My nerves.
Oh, then you don't want me to read anymore?
Not where I can see you.
Now, Mrs. Meek.
Yes?
Louis, Miss Meek. Before the others come, let's settle the business affair Mrs. Meek and I discussed before in private. Business affair?
What business affair?
Fellow thespians.
I have decided to give you each a screen test.
Oh, Mortimer, isn't that wonderful?
Oh, boy, Hollywood, here I come. Move over, Gable, I'm feeling able.
There is, of course, the little matter of expense. You see, equipment runs into money, and there are other things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so naturally, a small advance fee is necessary.
Well, how small? Besides, I thought the studio was always paid for the test.
Mr. Meek, I'm so sure of the success of your family that I decided to cut the advance fee down to $10 a person.
Hey, that's okay. I can certainly swing that. Okay, Morty, give the man his dough.
Oh, isn't that thrilling?
$10 a piece. $30.
Mortimer, you certainly aren't going to let $30 stand in the way of our careers, our future.
Can't you tell us the name of the studio, Mr. Batchelor?
Ethics, my dear. Professional ethics. Besides, I hope you don't doubt me after all my years in the industry.
Oh, no. I suppose you've made just lots and lots and lots of stars, Mr. Backdrop, like Oliver Benn.
Oh, good old Ollie, one of my greatest friends.
Do you really know Oliver Benn?
Do I know him? Why, I discovered him working in a coal mine in Heron, Illinois.
Say, Backdrop, what about June Morning?
Dear little June. I picked her out of the Girls' Drum and Bugle Corps in Split Lip, Nevada.
Oh, Mr. Backdrop, do tell me you know that great foreign star, Carlos Granada.
Do I know Carlos? Dear lady, I found Carlos on a lonely mountainside singing to his sheep in Buenos Notes and brought him to Hollywood myself. Now, Mr. Meek, about the advance fee for the screen test.
Yeah, well, just a minute. Peggy.
Yes, Pop?
No,
you, Pop. Huh? Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. Lily, will you come up here, please?
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Meek. I've often pictures of Belle for the stage.
What is this all about? Hey, it's Lily.
Lily, what are you doing here?
Oh, some friends asked me to drop by for the rehearsal. I've just been sitting in the back room listening. It was very interesting.
Hey, Lily, did you hear what Mr. Backdrop was just telling us?
I certainly did. And if you'll pardon the expression, I think his facts are highly inaccurate.
Attaboy, Lily.
What is this you're saying?
I'm saying, Mr. Backdrop, that I am an extremely conscientious reader of all the movie magazines. Now, Mr. Backdrop says he found Oliver Vance down in an Illinois coal mine. Oliver really got his beginning as a soda jerk in the Bronx. Hmm? And June Morning wasn't in any girl's band in Nevada either. She was a manicurist in Albuquerque. And Carlos Granada wasn't in any bony notches either. He was a pin boy in a bowling alley in Keokuk, Iowa.
Why, you little upstart, you don't know what you're talking about.
I'll show you a scrapbook. I've got everything pasted in them.
So, fraud in the swindler, huh?
Come on, Backdrop, hit the road or I'll face you. And it won't be in any scrapbook either.
I see, I'm not appreciated here. Very well, I'll go. $30, it was hardly worth the effort.
Oh, dear.
Now, Agatha, dear, I won't take it to heart. You know, we've a lot to be grateful for, especially a charming, talented, and smart daughter. Peggy?
Next week, 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, same station, you have a date to Meet the Meek, when the whole family goes on a diet. Mr. Meek is played by Forrest Lewis, Mrs. Meek by Fran Allison, Peggy by Beryl Vaughn, Jill by Mary Frances Desmond, Louie by Cliff Sevier, Lily by Nanette Sargent, and Mr. Backdrop by Rupert LaBelle. Meet the Meeks is written and directed by Les Weinrod. Be sure to join us again next Saturday over these same stations when the National Broadcasting Company again invites you to Meet the Meeks. This is Ed Allen speaking. The National Broadcasting Company.